Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Wealth Creation Radio. This is your host, Sean Hill, and I am so excited about this week's show. It is going to be another hot one. I'll tell you, we don't dodge any subject here. You never know what we're going to be talking about, but it's all going to be about creating wealth and bringing more wealth into your life. And so we are tackling things head on. And of course, my name is Sean Hill. I am the co-host of Black Wealth Creation Radio with my co-host, Louisa Sanderson, and we are here to bring you just the best of what we have and the best guests, and I am so excited. A new month, March is here. I'm excited. Like I said, March 1st is passed, but I think we need to just march forth into whatever we're planning and whatever we have to do, and so I'm excited about spring and March and all that good stuff. Hopefully the cold weather will get behind us finally, at least for a little while, but I am so excited. Louisa, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, Sean. I'm doing really good. I'm just as excited as you are about tonight's show. I like when we have guests on, but I also like when we can just, you know, sit the two of us and share our opinions and have everybody else come on, have callers and other business owners come on. So I'm digging tonight's format, and as well, I'm really excited about the topic because this is a hot button. I've seen it amongst fellow business owners and groups and all that good stuff. So I'm ready to see where everybody, what side of the fence everybody falls on.
Exactly, and you know how we do. We give an open mic forum. So anybody that's been on social media, Facebook, Twitter, who's been complaining and has a thousand things to say on social media, we want you to call in. This is your opportunity. You know, we purposely sometimes don't have guests so we can give more of the man or woman on the street type of feeling. So this is your opportunity. Of course, you can join us by calling in at 347-850-8677 if you want to get on. Just press 1, and we will be happy to get you on tonight, and I'm about to open up the chat room, so the chat room is going to be available if you want to get online and chat in there. Of course, tonight's show is brought to you by GettingSkinnyWealthy.com. Want to share with you how I lost 49 pounds in 45 days, and I'm now helping others. So go to the site and get that information. Let me help you. You know, we have a huge problem with obesity, and especially in the Black community. And it's one of those things that I am really, really pulling for, and I know I can help you. And also, it's sponsored by MindYourBlackBusiness.com. Louisa, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in case you haven't heard, MindYourBlackBusiness.com is a website that I created, and it is for and about our Black businesses. I wanted a platform that would give not the big man, because we have places and spaces for them to go, but a platform that would give our micros, our mom and pops, our solopreneurs, those who are working day in and day out. They probably even have a job in along with it, but that's to give them a platform to come and share their story and as well as find information. So if you are interested in finding more about the website, go to www.mindyourblackbusiness.com. I am always looking for organizations, for-profit and nonprofit, to feature, as well as people to write for me. If you have a passion for what you do, hit me up. Just go to the contact page, and from there you can either nominate yourself as a business spotlight or as someone who would be a great addition to our writing team. So, again, that's www.mindyourblackbusiness.com.
All right. And, Louisa, I just have to say we had a wonderful planning session last night. I am so excited about opportunities and the things that we have coming for this show and other things that we have planned. It was fantastic, and thank you for that. I'm so looking forward to taking our show just to a whole nother level. And man, that was great. That was great. So thank you for spending that time with me. I think our audience is going to see the fruits of our labor in the coming weeks. But anyway, enough about us. We came here to hear you. But before we talk to you, we did bring some guests because we haven't had a Business of the Week on for a little bit. But I said, hey, you know what? We want to spotlight some of the best that we have in our business. And I just know that this person is going to bring the quality with us that we've come to expect from this show. Jasmine, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I am wonderfully blessed. And how are you this evening?
I am blessed as well. Thanks for asking.
That is wonderful. So, Jasmine, tell us a little bit. When you were chosen to be our business spotlight, Business of the Week, so tell us a little bit about your business and what you do.
Well, first, I would like to thank you and Louisa for granting me the opportunity to be on your show. So thank you for that. Second of all, again, my name is Jasmine Peters. I'm a parenting life coach with Parenting Wellness Center, an organization which I founded in 2011. Our organization believes that everyone is a parent, whether you have children of your own, you're parenting your inner child, or you work with or around children. We believe everyone's a parent. Our organization is a two-fold organization. The first fold of the organization focuses on the parents themselves. So we encourage and support self-care or promote self-care, money management, time management, stress management, setting goals, affirmations, anything that has to do with the parent directly. The second fold of the organization is supporting healthy parent-child relationships, so encouraging responsible communication, helping your child get ahead in school. We talk about bullying, sexting, social media safety, redirecting imperfect behavior, and those two elements make up our business, and we offer webinars, teleclasses, Facebook support, in group sessions, as well as one-on-one sessions, and then we offer a free teleclass once a month as a part of our community service and to giving to our community free teleclasses on various topics.
Wow, that is great. So, the people that come to you, would they be parents that are kind of stressed out? I mean, my goodness, it almost sounds like that just goes with the territory that you're a parent, you're going to have some stress and be stressed out. But who is the typical or what is the typical person that comes to you and seeks your service?
Right now, we're working with the Denver Public School System, and we're doing African-American parent engagement. We're doing a study and trying to find out why our African-American parents are not engaged as much as the other parents in their child's education. And so these parents come from various walks of life, single parents, two-parent households, working parents, non-working parents. So that's our demographics in who we're currently working with.
Wow. I'm writing down what you just said because, and I know Louisa, I know how she's thinking, you sound like you may have a topic for one of our shows coming up because that is so hot. I'm having to put on gloves to try to touch that one. That is a show in and of itself. You dropped the bomb right there because that is hot. That is hot. And, boy, I want to know more about that. But I'm not gonna take it away from this show because we could go all night long talking about that. But definitely would love to have you on and really discuss that because that's one of the things that Louise and I talked about is having a show maybe once a month. more community-based as far as just not nonprofit, but some of the things that are going on in our community, and that sounds so wonderful. So I'm not gonna destroy this show because I want to get to our topic tonight, but, man, I'm writing it down. I am writing
that
down.
Definitely, I would be honored.
We definitely will. Yes, woo, that is something. And hopefully you can hang around tonight, and then we would love to have you just hang around and share our topic because I'm sure you have some thoughts on and as a businesswoman on what you maybe some sacrifice that you've had to make or that you've heard about. And so I think tonight's topic is really going to be relevant. So hopefully you can hang around with us. I certainly hope that's the case.
I will.
But
I'm
thank you for that.
Thing.
Oh, yes, please do. Now, how can I know you mentioned some webinars. That is great. If our to a higher level, how would they do that?
Absolutely. You can visit my website at parentingwellnesscenter.com. We have a Facebook page, which is Parenting Wellness Center. And you can also set up a free 30-minute consultation with me, and I can provide you with my number as well. And that number is 720-343-9081.
All right. Did you give us that number one more time? I know somebody was – I can just feel somebody was running to get a pen just when you said it.
Absolutely. It's 720-343-9081.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to put you back on, back online. And
okay.
But please, please, please do stay with us. I would love to get your insight on tonight's topic and just hang out with us. You've already given us food for thought for upcoming shows, and I am excited about that. So thank you so much, and just hang in there, okay?
You're welcome. Thank you again.
All right. Well, Louisa, you know we always have a, even when we didn't have a business of the week, we love our nonprofits. We always have a nonprofit of the week. So why don't you tell us a little bit about our nonprofit?
All right, Sean. Tonight's nonprofit of the week, this lady, she and I just recently connected. And I think what she's doing is unique. So I'm anxious to hear more about what she does myself because, like I said, we just recently connected. But her name is Angelica Stevenson, and she has a ministry that uses art to reach people. So, Angelica, without any further ado, we'd love to have you come on and tell us about the organization and more about your mission. Are you there? Yes.
I'm here. Hello, hello, hello. How are you, beautiful people?
Wonderful. How are you, Angelica?
Doing good. Thank
hello,
you.
Angelica.
Thank you for having me. Hi. yes, it's called the Life Poetic Ministry. I'm a co-founder with my husband. We've been doing it since 2011. We started in a small church basement, and we decided, you know what, people needed to be reached outside. So we went outside the building and just took it to the street. So what we do is that we host and coordinate poetry nights for organizations and churches and help them raise funds for their mission. Like we did a poetry night for a daycare who only allowed parents to pay as they were able to afford. So that was really cool. We did a poetry night for Sparks Academy. It's a girls program in our area. They do really great things to help them with our daughters, you know, to help them be the best that they can be. And then we're also available to speak at churches or at a function. And we just get out there on the street because we believe that's where people are needed and that's where we're to be at. They need to see live, living, breathing, the hands and feet of God that we believe in and feel that love. So that's what we do. We do that. And one of the things that we have done is called City Paydays. That's when my husband, since he's working in a film with our kids, he takes money from his paycheck, and we ask for people if they want to help and come volunteer too. We do something called $10 Sundays, we go out, we buy pizza, and then we just go to the street and we feed people, or we go to our downtown area. And then we do have a $10 Sunday coming up where we're going to get money and just go out and pass flowers to a neighborhood where a shooting took place recently and just kind of devastated us because we had personal ties. So we're just taking steps as much as we can to let people know they are loved, you can make a difference, and to connect them with other people in the community who can lift them up and do better in their situation.
Wow, Angelica, that is awesome. Where are you all located?
We're in the wonderful place of Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska. Are there black people there? I had to ask.
Yes, there is. I'm originally from Lincoln, so that's more white people. So when I first moved here with my mom in 2001, I was kind of surprised at all the black folks. So, yeah, they're just black.
Okay. Okay. Many moons ago, I was stationed in North Dakota, Minot, North Dakota, and there were no black people there. So when I hear about places that are, you know, not typically mentioned in the news, I have to ask if Ussus is inhabitants of the area. So that's good to know. How can everyone get a hold of you and support you and just find out more information?
They can definitely reach us on Facebook. Our page is called thelightpoeticministry.com. And then we have a website, which is www.thelightpoeticministry.com. And there it tells it about us. It has a video of my husband doing one of his poems. It has a breakdown on how when we get the money and people donate and volunteer, how we actually spend it so people can see what we do with it. It has a donation button, and it also has a link to our free poetry album that you can download.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's wonderful. Well, I want to thank you for sharing the organization with us. I know I'm going to definitely go back onto the website. I went on there last night to look at things, and I was really impressed. I hadn't had a chance to look at the website, but I love what you all do. I think it's really great, and I think even tonight's subject is applicable to you all as a nonprofit. So if you can, I'd love to have you stay on. Do you think you'll be able to stay on the line and participate with the call for us in the show and call tonight?
Yes, I am looking forward to hearing you guys do your thing. Yes.
Okay, great. So Sean's going to mute your line, but if you have anything you want to add, please just press number one, and that'll let them know that you're ready to come back and share your opinion.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Angelica.
Wow, Angelica. You know, I just like that name, Angel. I just think of an angel, man. That is such a cool name, and I tell you, she really lived up to it, man. She had so much energy. I was smiling over here. Just great energy. I love that. I love that. That is that, man. I tell you, when you want somebody helping you, you want somebody with that kind of energy, and that is great. Well, I tell you what, we're not going to delay any longer. We're going to just jump right in with both feet, and we're talking about buying in or selling out. What do we need to do to have success as a black business? Can we just, Louisa, what would you define as a sellout? Louisa, can you hear me?
Oh, my bad. I was eating. I had myself on mute.
Okay.
I'm gonna be real. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It definitely isn't what I think our show title alludes to. To me, a sellout is someone who purports to be of a certain way, whether it's with their business, whether it's with their brand, their personal life, whatever it is, and they go and do the complete opposite of what they sold themselves as, of what they presented themselves as for the dollar. So I don't think, and I'm going to put it out there right now, I don't think businesses marketing to other groups or ethnicities I don't think black businesses that do that, I don't think that they are selling out. Now, if you have a market that says that you are directly, that you're specifically marketing to that market, and you take your business and you turn it 180 degrees around just so you can make an extra dollar, yeah, you sold out to me.
Mm-hmm. You know what? And I think that foundation, starting there, is so important, because when I think of a sellout, I think of somebody that as you say, purports to be one way, but then really they live their lives in a different way. You know, it's really somebody that I think of. I think, and this is just my personal opinion, I catch a lot of flack, and because we don't dodge things around here. We talk about them. We just hit them straight on, because there's this thing, and let me say this also. I think this thing in our community where we really just have a problem with making sure that we know exactly what we're talking about. Hold on, just a minute. Let me have to switch to my phone here.
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Better.
Okay, good deal. I know you said it was, I don't know if my earpiece or what, but anyway. So, you know what, and so I'm in the network marketing business. That's one of the things I do. And so we catch a lot of flack, and, you know, it's like light skin, dark skin, you know, natural hair, you know, weave. And so we, in our community, for whatever reason, we always find ways to kind of separate ourselves and to move ourselves just from being, you know, just from being united. And so really it doesn't matter how you make money, as long as you're a business owner, you're a business owner. But here's what I was discussing with somebody the other day. I said, what if I owned a store as a black person in a black neighborhood, and I employed Hispanic workers? All the products that I had in my store came from China or Asia or India, and I took my black self at the end of the day back to a predominantly white suburb, but I'm still considered a black business. And I said, to me, that's a sellout, because you're really not putting back into the community of people that look like you. Every other community, you know, has this. Every other community does this, and it doesn't seem like there's a problem with them understanding that we have to, you know, come together. We have to support our, but it seems like when a black person says that or does that, all of a sudden they're prejudiced, they're racist. And so I really don't get that. I really don't get that mindset of how, if I employ people that look like me in the same neighborhood that I have to happen to have my business in, or I do business in, that there's some kind of issue with that. But because I'm a quote-unquote black business and I don't employ any blacks, I don't even spend my money in that same area, but because I happen to own this restaurant, I'm a black business. And maybe it's just me. I just tend to hold our businesses to a higher standard. To me, you need to be investing back into the community. And I know I've seen it in a lot of our communities where, you know, if a white person or a person of another nationality were to come in that community and then didn't employ any blacks, and they, you know, there'd be a problem. At least there'd be something said sometimes not. But sometimes it's like, okay, you need to employ somebody. But if it's a black owner, a lot of times they don't have that same, I won't say restriction, they're not living up to that same standard. And so it's really, I mean, it's, I when I think of a sellout, I normally think of it, and I know everybody doesn't see the Boondocks, but Uncle Ruckus, you know, he just black people just can't seem to do anything good. It's just always an issue. It's, and even if they did something good, it'd be either the exception or by accident. And so when I think of a seller, I think of something. We used to call people Uncle Tom's. I think if people really read the book and understood where that term comes from, they change it. It's just something that they've heard. But anyway, that's a whole other show. I'm not going down that road. But have you seen that when you're talking to business people, that almost that mentality about what they quote unquote define as a black owned business?
I have, and you know, it even with certain types of businesses, and the ones that I see that get the biggest beat down are your MLMs, your multi level marketers, or those who belong to some sort of, you know, higher organization. When I'll say this, I'm not an MLM person. It just doesn't do anything for me. However, in terms of running their business, those people are business owners. They have, you know, they fall under a bigger umbrella, but they still have to do a lot of things on their own. So I give them their kudos and their props. I do know there are a lot of people within the Black business community who are really thumbs down to them because they are still attached to a higher entity, so to speak, that is 9 times out of 10, probably 99% of the time, they are a white-owned entity. So I think your MLMs really get it. Franchisees are the next ones in line that kind of get the thumbs down when it comes to Black-owned business. But, you know, I think it kind of goes back to what you already brought up is what are they doing to give back to their community, you know? And it doesn't have to be specifically job creation to me. It's, you know, are you educating? Are you mentoring? Are you reaching back and bringing somebody else up? Are you, you know, what your investment doesn't have to be the tangible dollar to me, but you do need to be giving back in some shape or form. So I think when we look at Black business, I'd like for people to be a little bit more open-minded in what they consider Black business. I do know that there are certain facets that we need to address, and there are certain things that we need to address if we're going to be prosperous as the Black community as a whole. However, you know, there it's baby steps. You know, we need to get people just in that financial mind, in that wealth creation mind, in that entrepreneurial mind. Then we can move them to the next level. You know, one person that you and I pontificate on quite a bit is Dr. Anderson, you know, Dr. Claude Anderson, mm-hmm. and his power mm-hmm. powernomics theory. And, you know, he has the different levels of becoming prosperous within the Black community, especially when it comes to Black business as far as the media and politics and so on and so forth. So I do think that there is a higher level that we need to look at when it comes to Black business and how we address ourselves as in terms of impacting the community. But I think for some people, we need to start at the beginning. We can just get somebody thinking and entrepreneurially. We can just get somebody who wants to take back the keys to their own life, so to speak, so that they can arm themselves to help the next person. I'm all for that, and I'm not going to down somebody because of the type of business that they're running.
Exactly. Now, what about one of the things that we often talk about is, do you think a business could be successful if they only sold to a Black client or a Black clientele? And, of course, we hear, you know, Black consumers spend, will either have spent or will spend $1 trillion in consumer credit, which that's a whole nother – once I always say it's a whole nother show, but that in itself bothers me because we never hear how much we produce. It's always how much we consume, and, of course, consume means to use up. And I always feel like when people say that they're looking at me like some hungry meat, you know, that they're just about to devour. And so there's no concern about me. It's just like, oh, you're a consumer. Oh, okay, we know we just gotta give you anything. So anyway, get off my soapbox. But anyway, the question in all that is, do you think Black businesses could really be successful if they only marketed to a Black consumer?
If we go by the statistics now, no. And the 2012 census numbers aren't available yet. They won't be available till later on this year. But according to the 2007 numbers, economic census numbers, Black businesses accounted for almost $2 million of revenues. However, like you mentioned, as far as Black consumers, we spent $137 billion. So mm-hmm. a million, we're making, as a black community, Black business owners, we're making $2 million. But as Black consumers, we're spending over $130 billion. So if we're spending that much and we're truly buying Black, you know, everything, the fist is all over the place these days, if we're truly buying Black and we're participating in the communal effort, why aren't we seeing more of those dollars as Black business owners or entrepreneurs or just within the community? So I think if we go by the numbers, No, if you just looking at it, it's not. You would almost think it's impossible because it's how do we make that shift? How do we make those millions of dollars shift back into our community? However, theoretically, I don't see how it's not possible. There's no reason why we can't market to our own community and be successful. How we go about doing that, how we go about making that shift, that's a different story. But it's possible. But it's about a shift in the paradigm, a shift in thinking.
You know what? And what I think of it, and I agree, I think it's possible. What I think of it is, I think a lot of it depends on the particular industry. We know that there's enough black consumers for something that we should be dominating, which is the hair care industry. We should just be dominating that, and we're not. But, yes, if you're in the hair care industry, we also look at entertainment. There's a certain level of entertainment, music being one where if it's, you know, predominantly urban, and that's where your business is, then, yes, you could definitely just dominate in that area. But almost anything else, I would be hard-pressed, and I'm like you. I don't know what the reason is that we seem to have a reluctance to, do business with our own, in fairness. And we all have horror stories, but we have horror stories about bad customer service of all people, so let's not just section that off. But in fairness, we may need to look at, is it the business owner? And not necessarily that the customer service is bad, but sometimes maybe there are others that are better. And maybe that customer, that owner doesn't have all the business savvy that another business owner does. And so they just kind of get, like anything, survival of the fittest, they just get lost. Or is it the consumer? Do we have a mindset as consumers? I know this is an old phrase, and our parents and grandparents who said that the white person's ice is colder. You know, a black store may have ice, and a white store may have ice, but the white person's ice is colder. Ice is ice, but, you know, and I don't think, and we laugh, and we think we have a black president, and, of course, we don't have that mentality anymore, but I do believe there's a degree to that being true. And I've just from what I've heard and just in our groups, I've just heard it too many times where somebody will have a bad experience with either somebody in the group or somebody outside the group, and they'll come in. And as a business, a black business owner, I literally have seen them say, you know what, I can't believe this person did this. See, that's why I don't do business with black people. I'm like, you're a black business owner. I'm like, that's what I don't do business with myself. I'm like, come on, really? Are we, you know, pushing that mentality as owners? So my goodness, if we have owners and other black business owners that have the mentality, can we be surprised that black consumers may have that mentality as well? It's just strange to me.
I agree. I think it's splinters. I think that as black business owners, if we don't believe in our peers, our contemporaries, then, you know, what makes us think that they're believing in us? You know, if we're not supporting one another, then we're going to be hard pressed to find support. So I've been fortunate where I have not run across that as much. I have seen it. I've witnessed it online. Well, you know, online is a beast when it comes to opening your eyes up to what's out there. But I have seen it online. I think part of the problem, too, though, is as consumers is we're going to take what's given to us. If it's available, you know, like the black hair care industry, that was one thing that when the whole natural movement started, black entrepreneurs were birthed from the natural movement, the natural hair care movement, because there were no products that catered to their needs. So that, you know, that was a great thing for black businesses, but as far as the black hair care movement and the natural hair care movement goes. But it's the same with other products, with other services. I have quite a few health and wellness professionals within my network, and they will tell you that when it comes to investing in themselves for health and wellness, black people just aren't there. They either they either, you know, they're great for the free stuff. They're willing to listen as long as you're willing to talk. But when it comes to taking that money out of their purse or wallet, they're not there. But they'll go buy a coach, or they'll go buy, you know, $200 worth of hair. I think when it comes to that specifically, it's, well, one, health and wellness, there aren't a lot of blacks within the health and wellness industry. So the information that is targeted is not really applicable to the black community. And that goes across all boards. When you look at a lot of the products and services, they don't really target us. You know, they'll target us for some junk when it comes to shoes or certain mm-hmm. types of music or entertainment. But when it comes to stuff that's good for you, when it comes to stuff that is uplifting and positive and have long-lasting impacts within our community that do good things, you don't really see that. You know, another industry is the toy industry. Dolls. When you go into Walmart or whatever store you shop at, how many black dolls do you see? How many even black action, you know, even black action figures? Because, you know, the black dolls, we usually think of little girls. But how many action figures do you see that look like little boys? How many baby dolls or Barbie type dolls do you see? You know, and if you're familiar with it, you know, there was the whole doll test back a few years, which had been repeated from one back in the 80s. And I forget the specific title of the test. It was where they set two types of dolls in front of children, boys and girls, black and white children. Mm-hmm. And they asked them, one doll was a white baby doll and one was a black baby doll. And they asked the children, which doll is better? And most of those children chose the white baby doll. And the responses mm-hmm. from the children across the board were the black baby doll is bad, the white baby doll is better, the white baby doll is prettier. All of these positive things, whereas all of these that were attributed to the white doll. But then you had all these black things that were, all these negative things that were attributed to the black doll. You know, so it's about what's being fed to us, not even in products, but what's being fed to us in terms of our self-esteem, our self-worth, our value, our history, and what all that we have as a people, not just this country, but even globally, all of the positive impacts that we've made. How much do you hear about that? So when it comes back to business, I'm going to bring this back to the topic. But when it comes to business, it's the same thing. How many times are we given the option of positive black business interactions? Meaning, how much does the media focus on positive black businesses? How much do you know, even your local chambers or whatever, you know, unless you belong to a black chamber, how often do you see spotlights on black business owners that are a part of your mainstream chamber? Just so many things. I really do think that it is about what's being presented to us and what's made available to us. I think if those things were to shift, then we would see more people who are purchasing and supporting black-owned businesses.
And I'm going to reach out. I hope she's still online. Reach out to Jasmine, because you touched on a certain topic that I think is really relevant, and I think it's really because guess what? Consumers have to grow up. They start out as kids, and they look at the cereal, and they want the cereal, and so they're you know, kind of pressuring the parents. So a lot of the buying behaviors start really, really young, and they're kind of programmed. And Jasmine, are you there?
I am, yes.
Good.
I am.
Louisa touched on something, and I wanted to, because this is your area, this is in your wheelhouse, and your area expertise, and how you blend that with the businesses. When you talk to parents and you're talking to them about the finances and things like that, what are some of the things that you're hearing from them and from, you know, their children about image and products, and I'd rather have maybe this one or that one? What's been your experience?
Well, my experience is that the society has just created, let me choose the right words. We're a reflection of
you're on our show.
You can
say whatever you want to.
Yeah, well, you know, I just believe in, okay, so I believe in parent accountability. That's what my organization focuses on. And so when you see a child, you know, when you see like a mother relaxing her hair, that speaks volumes to our children. And sets the tone and the image of, you know, that my hair isn't good enough. And it starts developing very, very young in our self-worth and our image. And then you add outside influences of schoolmates, you know, the learned behavior in their households, talking about, you know, nappy hair and things like that, where we just, at a very tender age, we lack self-acceptance. And so rolling over into our Black businesses, there's a level of, I believe there's a level of expectation that we have set for our people. And I always say expectation equals failure. I personally have been guilty of saying, that I will not, you know, in the past that I will not do business again with Black people. And that's because I really love my people, and I had an expectation of them to hold themselves higher than how we hold ourselves. And because they failed me in that expectation, instead of saying I'm disappointed in the service, it was an easy way out or easy saying to say I won't do business with them again. In all actuality, I do business with Black businesses all of the time. So I just think that we have these expectations. We struggle in supporting each other. I do believe that Black people can get along. I do believe that Black people can work together. But it starts at home, as where that image of ourselves have been set and not celebrated or embraced.
You know what, that is just wisdom right there. And as you're in your experience, have you seen, because it seems like, you know, with, and it's sad that sometimes negative things prompt awareness and consciousness, and a lot of the police shootings and things, like, there seems to be a growing pride in Black things again. Maybe Black is back in style for a few people, and so maybe we're back in style again until, you know, that goes down. But anyway, once again, I get off. But have you seen in your meetings and in your conversations any kind of shifting? Does there seem to be more pride in things that are Black or Black things, or is it on that level when you're meeting with your clients? Is it pretty much status quo? Is it pretty much, hey, things are kind of tracking along the way they've always gone?
Probably a little bit of both. Are you talking about my clients or professional meetings where I'm going in, you know, engaging with different people? Can you clarify that for me?
Yeah, just in your meetings with parents. As parents, as they're talking about, you know, the things that their kids want and the things that they're buying their kids, and maybe a consciousness about, you know, maybe I do need to start showing my child more Black products or things like that, or maybe I do need to. Well, I tell you, we're gonna touch off a bum if I start talking about hair, and I'm not even in. That's not even close to my wheelhouse. But I'm going, you know, maybe I need to present. I'm going to tread lightly here. A different hairstyle that's more Afrocentric, and has that been shown, or is it pretty much status quo? Now, I don't know if that's the correct way to, you know, to ask it.
Yeah,
but I think
I
it's,
actually,
you know, is it pretty much just what you've seen?
I do see a shift, actually, especially after, you know, the Mike Brown, the Trayvon Martin started, you know, brought it to attention. But after the Mike Brown and all the police brutality, I do see a shift in the Black community as far as parents showing a stronger interest in their child's education. I see a shift in them wanting to do homeschooling and understanding you know, that the school system was not set up for our black kids to succeed. I do see them trying to better understand how to support their kids. What I don't see that's still a struggle is that parent accountability piece. They still tend to blame the school system for the shortcomings of their child, you know, or the parent-teacher conferences end up in arguments because everybody's pointing the finger at each other. So I see an interest, but self-reflection is very tough because you have to revisit, you know, your own experience. And some of us, a lot of us, haven't had a positive experience, or our family, or we know a family member that hasn't had a positive experience. So I do see a shift. We still have work to do, but it is possible. I just don't want it to be a phase, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead, because you're right on spot, you know, right on point, by which I say the same thing. It just seems like we are as a people, and I think this is very true, we're very reactionary and reactive instead of being proactive. Instead of, as Louisa came with the that knowledge about the economy and how we should just be shifting those millions of dollars into black businesses, it normally takes a incident, something to happen and something to trigger it. And until then, okay, then we go, and like as you say, we go for a minute, and we do that for a minute, and then we just pull back. And I think that really hurts us in that we're not, you know, we don't carry it through, and we don't move forward. And you know, that I think that's a problem. And I'm going to kind of, and just hang with us, because I love having you on. You're bringing such great, great wisdom. And Louisa, and you're talking with people and business owners, have you seen a shift, or even consumers, have you seen a more of awareness, and do you think it's kind of long term, or you think we're just kind of going through a phase?
I hope we're not going through a phase, and I have seen a shift. I have seen more people who are more proactive in wanting to support the black community. But I'll say, you know, maybe part of that is even my own piece, my own thought, you know, because of what I do in the transition that I've made in my own business. So that could just, you know, part of that could just be my own perception. I might be the one who's changing, and the people that I'm now surrounding myself with are already, you know, been doing it. I might be the one that's behind the curve. But I do think that people are becoming more proactive and they're wanting to see this. I still think there are a great deal of people who aren't. You know, some people are like, look, just give me my Walmart because it's on the way home from work. I can stop there and do what I need to do. You know, I don't think people are as hard on black-owned businesses as they used to be. You know, that's one thing that I have noticed. I don't see as many people saying, I'm not doing business with black folks anymore. I see people that are realizing that bad business happens across the board, black, white, indifferent. So I am seeing and noticing a bit of a shift. Unfortunately, yeah, my propensity was to think like, why are people doing this? You know, are you really interested in investing in the community, or are you just jumping on the bandwagon of what's happened over the past year and a half, 2 years? Because if that's the case, you know, there's been thousands more Trayvon Martins. He's not the first. He's just the one that we heard about. He's just the one that the media caught attention to. You know, we know that black people have been getting lynched, shot, stomped, killed, whatever, in this country. Unfortunately, that's a part of a great deal of our history. It hasn't stopped. It's just that, especially now with social media and social networking and cell phones, we're seeing that we're able to see it as it happens more real time. It doesn't become a part of some covered history where people are like, did you know about this? And it's something 3 years later. Whereas, you know, we're finding out about these things an hour later, a day later, you know. So if it's a week later, then that's even old news. So I think there is a shift. I think part of that shift is the sensationalism of it all. But hopefully we can take we can take the momentum of the shift and turn it into something that's positive and long lasting, and really educating ourselves in terms of consumerism, economics, how our purchasing power affects the community directly, and as well as business owners becoming smarter business owners and how we target our customers. You know, if we're talking about black consumers, black clients, black customers, you know, then there's nothing wrong with targeting our community, but how do you go about doing that? Are you showcasing customer service? Are you taking an interest in your customers? Are you directly reaching out to them? Are you showing them that you appreciate that they have come into your establishment as opposed to ordering off of Amazon.com? And in a lot of areas where the black population is so splintered, especially the affluent black population, if we're going to talk about people spending money, the people who have the money, the middle class a little bit higher up, you know, those people have that spending power. So if they're coming into your establishment, 9 times out of 10, they've had to drive somewhere, you know, because a lot of people, they live where they can afford to live. So they might not necessarily live in the all black community. They might live in something that's a little more diverse. They might live somewhere where they can afford to be, because they want their children to have a better education, and unfortunately a lot of our black communities don't offer it. So the splintering of black neighborhoods has impacted that. But if somebody is coming into your store, regardless of where they're coming from, show them that you appreciate it. If somebody's picking up the phone and they want to do business with you, insurance salesman, business consultant, whatever you do, you know, car salesman, whatever it is, show them that you appreciate their business, because they didn't have to spend their money with you, regardless of who you are, regardless of the color of your skin. So I think as black business owners, we do have to become more strategic in our marketing. We have to definitely become more strategic in the way we run our business, and we have to look at it as more than just something that we do. And that's not to say that everybody does that. But it has to be. Let you know if you sell T-shirts, what is your purpose for selling T-shirts? You know, and then let that guide you to maybe now you have a T-shirt franchise or something more. You know, I think if we look at it from a standpoint of wanting successful businesses, then a lot of this might go away, because we're looking to do better and be better as business owners, and hopefully attract those black customers and clientele.
And you know, getting to that and what you're saying, from your experience, and also Jasmine, I want to get your comment on this as well. What do you think is the reason why there is just seems to be just this reluctance on some point, and on another, it may not be a reluctance; it may be actual reality. Just this reluctance to spend money with black businesses and black-owned businesses. What do you think? Where do you think that's coming from?
Now go with Louise. Oh, okay.
I'll go with Louise, then I'm coming to you.
Okay. Now this is Louisa. I don't, like I said, I don't know if it's necessarily a reluctance. You know, depending on where you are. How many black-owned businesses are there? You know, even when you go into the so-called black communities, you know, speaking on the hair care industry, how many black beauty supply stores are there, you know, in your community? You know, and then we're talking predominantly black communities. How many do you see? How many grocery stores are there? How many banks are there? So I won't even say that's necessarily the reluctance, but it goes back to the availability. What is there anything available? Are there businesses available? You know, speaking in terms of services, you know, black services, how easily are they found? I've looked for different service providers before, you know, and I know you have Google, I know you have the Black Business Directory, and it's hard to find one. You know, I do see a lot of black insurance salesmen, State Farm rep, stuff like that. But, you know, finding a variety of black-owned businesses and black professionals is not an easy task. So I don't necessarily think that there's a reluctance. So I'm finished.
Good deal. Jasmine, what are your thoughts?
I wanted to kind of piggyback with Louisa. My father was is a civil rights leader. He was good friends with Martin Luther King. He said a lot of his scheduled a lot of his marches, and so I actually had him on the line with my organization after this Mike Brown verdict, and asked him about what can we do. Because there was a lot of interest, there was a lot of talk in, you know, putting our money back into our community. And as Louisa said, there's not a lot of resources available for us to support each other. And my father was saying that we need to figure out the resources and create those resources. And people just aren't doing that. You know, we're not investing back. We're not banking with black banks. We're not, cycling our money back into the black community. And so a little bit the reluctance comes from the lack of availability of resources and really getting to the bottom of the thing is that, you know, we need these inventors, you know, the black Barbie dolls and things like that to, you know, the manufacturers. That's where it really needs to come from. But also, I also think that there's a level of reluctance because of self-worth. Some of us just don't, again, going back to that childhood experience, we don't believe in ourselves enough to put ourselves out there to create those, to be the manufacturers, to create those resources. Back in my father's time, you had no other choice but to. Now that we have options and the availability of it, the affordability of it, the funding or the lack thereof to even get things started, it creates a tough situation for us. So I think there's a little reluctance because we need to work on our self-worth and understand where we come from, which is from kings and queens, and our history doesn't start at slavery. And the not necessarily reluctance, but the lack of availability of us in business.
You know what, and I got to say this too, a lot of times I think, and rightfully so, that the black consumer catches a lot of heat, but just from my experience, I really haven't had people just say, you know what, I just refuse to do business with black people, I'm just going to, even if I have to give my money to a white person, I'm going to give it. And Louisa can speak to this as well, is we have an open forum here. I know that she has put out several times, hey, we come on, be on our show, we'll promote you, we'll do this, and we just had this discussion just the other night. And I guarantee you, it is like teeth. It's like pulling teeth to get people to say, hey, you know what, it's free, I don't have anything to lose from it, I would love to do that, I'd love to be on your show, I'd love to have that. And hey, I'm just going to call it what it is. A lot of it, I think, is just laziness. I don't know. I have no idea where that comes from. I don't know what that is. As black owners, business owners, we have to understand, and I'm sure a lot of people do understand, that marketing is key, and getting your message in front of a new audience is just valuable. Whether you think it's 10 people, whether you think it's 10,000, what difference does it make, unless you're just on that level or Oprah level or whatever level you want to be on, that, you know, hey, my time is more valuable doing other things. I've yet to understand that. Why, when something is offered to you for absolutely free just to promote you, where there's almost seems like there's a reluctance to just take advantage of it. And I don't know where that comes from, but I just had to put that out there. I think a lot of times, as you say, a lot of times we put the blame on the black consumer and, they should just do business with us. We're a black-owned business. Why shouldn't you do business with us? You have to earn it. And Louisa is great about talking about this. You have to earn it. You know, it's not just given to you. You don't just get money because you happen to be a black business. You have to earn it. And I think a lot of our businesses fall short in making that extra effort. And a lot, maybe some of it's from a lack of knowledge, but I think a lot of it's just laziness. It's just, let's just call it what it is. Let's just call it what it is. Just put it out there. So, all right, enough of my soapbox. Stepping back down.
Sean, I got to say that, though. You called some people on the carpet on that one.
Well, hey, come on now. Well, am I right? Have you had that just where you just put it out there and just have heard crickets?
I have, and you know, because I'm doing not only solicitation and recruiting for this platform, but I'm also doing it for my website, and I put free, no obligation, money back return, whatever I need to put, and it's like nothing, you know. And sometimes I wonder, well, am I too small of peanuts? You know, am I not there yet? You know, if this were some other larger, more established website, or if we were a more established radio show, would people want to do it? I don't know, you know. But I'm with you. If it's free, there people can listen. People can stream the show. You can see what we're about before you even agree to it. You know, I have a very large problem with understanding that. I don't see why people don't take advantage of things like that, like the free advertising that we offer. I will say that I think part of it is the value that's been placed on it. You know, not all black business owners, but I think a great deal of them don't necessarily see the value in certain marketing. They think if it's not typical, if it's not something that they're used to, then it's like, you know, where I'm not really familiar with that. I don't necessarily want to do that, you know. And maybe they're thinking, well, y'all aren't Oprah. Y'all aren't Oprah strategists, so I don't want to do that one either. So, but I'm with you. I can't fathom why somebody wouldn't take advantage of free advertising.
I'm at a loss. I don't get it, but we're going to move on. I have a scenario for you both. So let's say, for instance, that and this, we have a black owner, and he's going to move the he's going to open a restaurant in a predominantly white area. It's going to be it's not going to be a rib shack. It's not going to be anything like that. It's going to be in an area where that's predominantly white. And he makes a decision to staff the majority of his restaurant in this predominantly white area with white waiters. Would you say that would be a sellout? And I go to Jasmine because I know that you've been so gracious to hang out with us. I'm sure you have things that you need to do. I'm not going to take up too much more of your time. But if you could just, what are your thoughts on that? Did that owner sell out?
I was listening to you all earlier and listening to the sellout, and it was really a trigger for me simply because I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood and was often referenced as a sellout by my own community and a nigger by the white community. And so I felt like I was in a lose-lose situation. To me, a sellout is not being true to you. And that, there's a difference. You know, when you're in a business, you know, of course you do the market research, you do, you know, your due diligence to determine what's going to be the best interest of your business. My thing is, are you recycling your money within your own community? Because if you look at the Asian hair shops, you know, I've seen some black workers out here in Asian-owned hair shops. But at the end of the day, when they go home, they don't socialize with us. They keep their money in their community. So, you know, it's a sellout because they've hired a staff that caters to their niche you know, that looks like the people they'll be serving, or as a sellout because they're not recycling that money within their community to help their community, you know, with, you know, Boys and Girls Clubs and different things that will better serve our community. So, you know, I might step on some toes, but I don't think that's a sellout. If he's hiring someone to that doesn't look like him as the owner, white people do it all the time. And
mm-hmm.
But their money is cycled within their community longer than it is ours. You know, I think that we should take advantage where opportunity presents itself, but put back into our community. Now, if you're going outside of our community, which most of us do, then I would question, are you being true to you?
Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And just because you're on here right now, you're about to go, and I know you need to leave, but give our audience one more time. How can they get in touch with you, and what is your area of expertise?
Again, I'm a parenting life coach, a holistic parenting life coach. My website is parentingwellnesscenter.com. Facebook page is Parenting Wellness Center, and the name of the organization is Parenting Wellness Center. We're getting ready to introduce a personal and professional prosperity academy. And so for those who join, we've made the classes affordable, so there's no excuse to better yourself. So look out for that, and I can be reached for a free 30-minute consultation at 720-343-9081.
All right. And because Louisa brought you on, I'm going to let her escort you off, and thank you so much for joining us. It has been a pleasure, and we will have you on again.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks again for joining us. You brought a lot of information, a lot of perspective to the conversation. I wish you could stay on longer with us, but I'm with Sean. I definitely think we need to have you back on for a show with regards to stepping up to the plate as parents and being more proactive in our kids' lives. But really, thank you so much for being on, and you know, I'll be in contact, but we will definitely be reaching out to you to have you back on again.
Yes, my pleasure, and I would be honored to be back on the show.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Good night. All right, Louisa, now that didn't let you off the hook, so now you still got to ask the question. Did he sell out?
And I just want to clarify, we have maybe a Black Beauty Supply store, Asian owner. He staffs it with Black employees, right? That's what we're talking about, and whether he sold out or not. I'm torn because I know that for a long time, when you went to a Black Beauty Supply store that was owned by Asians, you saw Asians at the front desk. However, as soon as Black women, men and women started opening up their own beauty supply stores, then the competition got smart. They're like, well, they want to see a Black face at the desk. It's still mine. I'll just staff it with Black employees. So people say, ooh, Black people are running it. You know, meanwhile, the employees are making minimum wage, maybe a quarter more if they're lucky, but it's still a non-Black owned beauty supply store. So, as far as that Asian business owner, I won't say in that perspective that he sold out. I say he's a very smart man. He realized what his market wanted to see. They wanted to see, you know, if he didn't stab it with Black employees, he was going to lose to the new business down the street, which is Black owned. Therefore, there are Black people at the desk. There are Black people that are assisting you when you get in the store. There's also another perspective to it, another part of the paradigm, and that is when, as an example, when government contracts go into communities, a great deal of time, part of that contract, that they will hire so many people within that community, too, because it does stir the economic engine of the community. So it's a way of that contractor giving back to the community by hiring those people in the community. So it can be looked at as, if we're talking about that same business owner, is he giving back to the people that he is selling to? You know, so does that, that Asian business owner, he's hiring people, and they're, you know, hopefully keeping that money in their community. So are they selling out? You know, isn't that what we want? We want the businesses that come into our community to recognize us and to put money into our community to appreciate who we are as consumers. So I'm really torn. You know, I'm really torn. I know that a lot of it is marketing tactics, but a lot, you know, at the same time, if they're hiring people within from the community, then they're doing something that we're telling our own business owners they should be doing. So I'd have to say that I'm torn. You know, I don't know what you call that other than smart business. You know, but I guess another perspective would be if you're a black business owner, you know, if you're a black business owner and you have a business in the black community, then what's your responsibility at that point? I think that's what we really need to look at. You know, then are you, you know, if you're hiring Hispanic workers because you think there you can pay them less, then there's some.
Oh, Louisa, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Get some period on us.
Can you hear me now? I'm so sorry. But
I just throw him under the bus. Just put him out. She said it was Sprint, people.
It was Sprint. But as I was saying, you know, to me, the sellout factor with our own businesses is what are you doing? Are you cutting corners just so you can make a dollar? Are you purporting to be a business that supports the black community, but you are, you know, you're nothing goes back in, you know, whether you live there, whether you hire people there, you know, you're just there to make the dollar. That's when you're damaging the community. If you are a black business owner and you say that, you know, you're all about marketing to black people, but all of, you know, your commercials or whatever your marketing efforts are don't ring of anything that is towards us, or you're doing something that is stereotypical just to make that dollar. Those things to me are what I would consider the sellout. It's when what you're doing is damaging the community. That's when we have to look at you and call you a sellout. I don't have a problem with somebody who is a black business owner and they diversify their marketing. To me, that's smart. That's smart marketing, because you're not going to capture everyone within the black community. And if that same person is making millions of dollars and they're giving so much of that to the philanthropic organizations within the black community, how can we fault them? They found a way to make money and give back. So that's my convoluted thought.
Now, I absolutely get what you said. And we have a caller, and I know who this caller is. DP, how are you doing, sir? What are your thoughts on what we've been talking about this evening?
Good evening. Let's see, where can I start?
I know, we covered so much.
Exactly. I'm trying to think, what do I thought? Now, of course, I got to agree with you and Louisa on the availability of, business, especially I'm in Baltimore, so there's not a lot of availability where I am. And so, of course, you know, I mean, you have to spend your money somewhere. Now, of course, I do, you know, I always try to, you know, promote and look for black businesses. As a matter of fact, I put a post up on a page. I'm actually looking for a black-owned printing company. I'm trying to get some information from one of my clients, and funny, nobody ever answered the post. That's another story. But one thing I do find, like, especially I guess here in a lot of like, you know, restaurants and, you know, businesses of that nature, where you a lot of clientele, you know, African American, and but the people who, you know, own the place or work there, they, you know, Asian, they have, you know, another nationality, and it was kind of, it bothers me to see people, especially, you know, us going to establishment, especially when it's whether it's black owned or not, both of them are not. And the way it talks to the people who work there, it's like, well, I'm thinking to myself, now, if you came in my place of business, now most of the people wouldn't, I'm going to say most of them wouldn't do this, but if you came to my shop, you know, with that type of mentality, I'm like, well, I'm not sure you're going to be doing business because, you know, I wouldn't tolerate that kind of, you know, behavior. And I'm not saying it's all bad, but just for what I've seen. So I guess that's one thing I could say. Now, another thing, I talked to a couple of other people who, you know, have a business, and they won't, I mean, it's not the wrong way, you know, saving money, you know, I'm an advocate for that myself. But especially when you're in business, you have to, at some point, you have to invest back in your business, because the previous one guy, he's in Georgia, and I'll be giving him, you know, different, we both, you know, do graphic design, things like that. I'll give him, like, you know, resources and things where he can actually, you know, work on the skill set. But, like, if you go to, I give him a website, if he goes to a website and he finds out, oh, well, I guess he's going to presume, for the most part, that it's free, but, you know, most times, sometimes it's not. But then again, like I said, when you spend your money in business, you got to think it's not going to always be something, you know, what you get in return is not going to be always something you can put your hand on, you know, meaning it's going to be tangible. It could be something, you know, you actually, you know, learn things, but that's sometimes you can't actually put your hand on it, you know what I'm saying. So people got to get in that mindset, too. If you spend your money, you invest the money, it doesn't necessarily mean it's something that you can actually put your hands on. It's something you got to look at. You know, this is going to, you know, help me out in the long run. It doesn't have to be, you know, something that's going to happen today. It might happen, you know, a couple of weeks from now, a couple of months, whatever, but you got to look at the big picture, and a lot of people don't do that. That's one thing I find out.
Well, you covered a lot just in what you said. And, I mean, like you said, if we're talking about sellouts, and I agree, a lot of times, sometimes business owners, and I've known a lot, can be a little bit short-sighted. If they don't see that, and Louise and I were talking about that, they don't see that immediate benefit. If you're not offering if you're not Oprah offering them free airtime, then maybe you don't get the excitement that you do when it's, oh, it's just this little show that's, you know, that's on Blog Talk Radio. And I think that hurts a lot of us a lot of times. And to be in where you are in Baltimore, I know it's there's a large community of blacks in that area, and to hear that there's so few black-owned businesses, that amazes me. I just, wow. I don't even understand how that happens.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out myself.
Just by default, you would think just somebody would just fall into a business and open up. You know, just, hey, man, I'm here. I may not have much, but I got something. And, hey, buy this product. So I don't know. I kind of see that same dichotomy a lot of times. And I think a lot of it's our mindset is when you see predominantly, like I believe Ferguson and a lot of places where you have a predominantly black population, but then most of the people in the government and the police are white or another race or whatever, Hispanic, whatever, we're on, but they're not black. And I've never understood that, is that how can you have predominantly black population and then the people in power are not that same color. I don't, Louisa, have you seen that or have you experienced that, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we're not participating. We're not voting. We're not going to the different community meetings, the town hall meetings. We are just existing, you know. There's a lot of education that still needs to take place regarding the Black community and how important it is to participate in politics, to participate in the media, to participate, you know, make yourself be heard, be seen, because that like with what I forget what the numbers are as far as their people in power and especially their police department. If you're not going out and voting, then you know, the people who are voting are probably the other people, you know, and they're voting in who they want to see. They're voting in who's going to take care of their best interests. So, and, you know, and I'm from Maryland, so I fully well know what DP's talking about, because there is a large Black population there. But, you know, the Black population in Baltimore specifically is not necessarily a well-educated population. I don't mean that everybody has to have these graduate and PhDs, but they, you know, there's a lot of poverty. There are a lot of people who are just living day to day. They're existing. You know, the gangs. I know somebody left home so many years ago. I'm not going to say, but the gang population has risen. You know, 20, 30 years ago, gangs in Maryland was like, huh? What? Isn't that just, you know, isn't that just Compton? You know, but so there's been an unfortunate negative shift. You know, The Wire was, unfortunately, you know, that was really art imitating life. That a lot of that takes place, especially in the Baltimore area. So, and you have other places like that across the nation where Blacks, African Americans, whatever you want to call yourself, we are existing and we're not participating, you know. And this isn't just to the indigent population. This goes to the working class, to the middle class, and probably even a little bit higher, because we don't realize how important our voice is. You know, we think, well, it's just me. Or we think, well, no matter what I do, nothing's going to happen. Or we think, you know, whether you want to blame it on President Obama, Illuminati, Bush, Mickey Mouse, whoever it is, we have all these excuses as to why something isn't going to work, instead of figuring, okay, well, let me see what happens if I change the dichotomy just a little bit. What happens if I do vote? What happens if I do go to a community meeting? What happens if I do pick up a newspaper and pay attention to the stock market and learn something different? What's going to happen then? Probably, since it's something you haven't done before, then that insanity ends and you might learn something. But that's not the case. But at the same time, there are people like us, the three of us that are on the phone right now, on the line right now, that we have to also take the responsibility. And I'm holding myself accountable, and I'm not saying that I've necessarily been the most successful at it, but we have to take the responsibility and go in and, you know, provide that information to our contemporaries, to our peers, to the generations behind us, even the generations in front of us, the importance of doing these things. Teach them how having a small business can change them. You don't, you know, a lot of people continue to have jobs. You know, people are secure with that job. But if you offer something else to your family, to your legacy, how much does that mean? How much is that intangible going to turn into a very great tangible if you only understood the economics of it, understood the impact of it, understood the values that you're not only instilling in yourself, but in your children and in your community. So it's really about a re-education that, you know, it's about those of us who know sacrificing and providing that education. And another thing that I want to add is we're splintered, not just geographically, but even as a Black community. You know, you have your bourgeois, which we call the bougie people. You have you have your round the way. You have your, and I'm throwing my own titles on all of these. You know, you have your conscious and enlightened people, but we have all these silos that we've placed each other in, and even religion plays a part in that, because if you're a Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or whatever else, you know, we always find reasons that we can't work together. And not to say that happens all the time, but that happens all too frequently. You know, I see too much negativity where we're looking at why we can't instead of looking at what we can do. Mm-hmm. You know, if you take what you've learned as that conscious person and teach it to that person who knows business, what can you do? What how much of an impact would you be if somebody who, you know, aware of where we come from as a people can team up with somebody who's aware of the importance of the impact of a dollar, a compound interest, you know, because now you're able to take a prideful nation along with an informed nation and create so much more than you would as two separate nations. And that's what we need to do. We need to remember that we are a community and not a bunch of different sects of people, because it's not working for us.
I love it. Well, DP, I'm going to put you back on hold. Thank you for sharing. We're about to run out of time, but our nonprofit wants to speak, and we have been she's been so patient. So I want to give her the opportunity to say what's on her heart, but we got about 4 minutes to do it. So be good, but be brief.
No pressure. All right. Thank you. I have been quiet because I wanted to listen and not just chime in when not necessary. And I don't personally like the word sellout, but I do understand the concept. And with all this learning that I'm seeing and doing, it seems like slavery has done a number on us when it comes to our mental and then our community. You know, it takes a village to raise a child. We don't see that anymore. We see each other as we're out on our own. We're for ourselves and our family. If we make it cool, peace out. If something bad happens, oh, well, it didn't happen to me. So I'm not affected. I'm not going to do anything about it. It seems like, you know, we deal with that. Everybody wants to be a leader. Like, we're trying to talk to people. And I had a friend who said he's been with different connections and churches and organizations. And he's saying that everybody has the same idea, but in a different way to do it. But nobody wants to work together because everybody wants to be the leader of it. And you guys are right. You need to put that stuff to the side in order for us to be builded and to do something. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen, you know, until we, like you say, we need to put ourselves and think of everybody as a whole, as a group, what prospers and grows as a community. Sorry, that's my baby.
That's
we love the kids.
That sounds like somebody needs attention. That's okay. That's okay. Well, you said a mouthful, and you were very good. So definitely come back and join us, okay?
All right. Thank you, guys. Be blessed, and have a wonderful evening.
Good night, Angelica.
You too. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I think somebody needed attention. I think that was our signal to go, Louise. I think that was the baby will say, hey, this show is about over with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, man, I tell you, it has been a hot show. I think I hope we didn't lose too many listeners, but I hope we gained some more, because I would rather have no listeners and tell the truth and then have 1,000 and tell a lie. So, you know, we're just honest here. We tell it like it is and like we've experienced it, and that you've come from that area. I tell you, one of the Wire was one of my favorite all-time shows, and me and my wife are going through this series of watching it from start to finish again, and we just love it. And to see the corruptness and the behind the scenes and how things work and just really the sadness, it almost makes you throw your hands up and say, my goodness, where do you start? And I guess we start where we left out is now we're back here. And how do we make this thing work? And how do we get our people to move forward? And even once they get into power, how to help the other people who are struggling? And I think that's just going to keep going, unfortunately, at least for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are your final
thoughts,
my friend?
I guess to round it back to the whole topic of sellout. You know, that's where we really started this show at. You know, when it comes to black businesses, I think I just want to reiterate, there's nothing wrong with diversifying your audience, because if we all just totally focused on black business, on black consumers, we won't all be rich, you know, not everything that we do is for everybody. Like, when it comes to not being a sellout, when it comes to being impactful in your community, it's about it's about what you do with what you've made. You know, what have you done with your information, with your knowledge, and you know, and when able with that money, you know, what are you doing to make your community better? So that's what I really think I'd like for people to understand is, you know, unless you're doing something totally moral or against what you purported yourself to be, reaching outside of your community to make a successful business, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Just remember to come back and share what you've learned, share what you've earned with the community.
I love it. And where can, although you're here all the time and everybody already knows, what have you got going on and where can people find you and all that good stuff?
quickest way to find me is go to mindyourblackbusiness.com, go to contact page, shoot me a message, whether you are interested in learning more about what I do as a consultant, learning more about the website, being on the website, being featured, writing for the website, any and everything that is Mind Your Black Business or Louisa Sanderson, just go to the contacts page of www.mindyourblackbusiness.com and I will respond promptly.
I know you will. And, hey, we're working diligently on our next show. Come join us next Tuesday as we talk about those tax tips. We're not waiting until April the 15th, not waiting until the last moment. I know some of you already gotten your refunds. Some of you have yet to get ready. I'm one of those that hadn't gotten ready. So I'm going to be taking notes and have my pen in hand and have my little Excel spreadsheets and getting all my receipts out of the shoebox and making sure that I know exactly what we need to do, because we're going to be talking about tax tips. So, you know, it's not a matter of how much you make. It's a matter of how much you keep. And I am so looking forward to having our guests come and talk about that. One of the main questions I want to ask, I was reading this article the other day about, one of the actors, he came out with a $4.6 million tax bill that he had to pay. And I'm thinking, man, if you hire accountants, why should you have to pay? But anyway, that's a whole nother show. I'm going to ask him next week, come back, because I want to know, man, if I hire y'all, why I got to pay? But anyway, hey, I'm out here helping people get healthy, lose weight, do what I've done, 49 pounds in 45 days, and continuing to go down and living a much better life. And one of our shows that we're going to be doing in the future, I know it's going to be because I've talked to Louise and I can make that happen. I can do that. I can talk to her. It's going to be about obesity in the Black community and how can we overcome this challenge and how can we live healthier lives. And I think that's, well, you know, what good does it do you to have wealth if you don't have your health? And I think that's so critical as we look at our community and see the diseases that are brought on and exacerbated by obesity. And we'll deal with that later. But anyway, as for tonight, it's been a great show. Thank you. As always, you've been so gracious. You've been wonderful. Man, just appreciate Darren, our Business of the Week, our Nonprofit of the Week, and I hope everybody got something of value from what we shared tonight. And no, if you do what you need to do to be successful, you're not a sellout. At least you're not in my book, and I guarantee if you let me in your restaurant or wherever your store is, I'll come and frequent it. Because if you do what you need to do, you're a good business person, and you're putting back in the community, I don't think you're selling out. Anyway, I love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for being here and for being part of our show and part of our lives and sharing your Tuesday night with us. And as we always say, as we go off the show, be Black, buy Black, and build your Black community. Thank you, everybody. Y'all have a great evening.